Hi, I'm Abby, and you're listening to the Fitness Drifter podcast, a body confidence podcast for men where I try to help you shift away from stressing about things like weight, body image, abs, and dieting to focusing on feeling fitter, healthier, and happier, and using nutrition and exercise as a positive force in your life. We're talking about an eating disorder called orthorexia nervosa. The best known eating disorders are probably anorexia and bulimia. The most common one is probably binge eating disorder, and I have done episodes on this before, and there's plenty about it on my YouTube channel as well. Orthorexia nervosa is probably not anywhere near as well known, but I think it might be a bit more common than its current prominence suggests. So what is orthorexia nervosa? To put it in simple terms, orthorexia is healthy eating gone too far or taken to an extreme. The term was first published in a 1997 edition of Yoga Journal by a doctor named Steve Bratman. I couldn't find the original link, but I did find it republished online, and I have included a link to that in the show notes as well. From this article, there are a few key points to take away. Orthorexia was referred to as a pathological fixation on eating, in air quotations, proper food. It often begins with wanting to improve health or overcome long-term illness. Due to the willpower involved, it starts to take on an almost holy or pseudo-spiritual feeling to eat in a certain way. And then when you slip up, you feel like you've sinned and you have to go stricter or cleaner or purer. Your thoughts get dominated by needing to resist temptation, worrying about feeling guilt about food, counting calories, tracking your macros, tracking your sugar, that kind of thing. Dr. Bratman has tweaked and nuanced his original article since then, as there were a lot of publications referencing his original article, none of which he was involved in, but the core concept hasn't changed. And I've included a link to his updated article in the show notes as well. It's important to note there is a fine line here. Not all healthy eating is orthorexia. You know, orthorexia is really where it reaches a point where it's causing massive disruption to your day-to-day life. Also, it's worth remembering that foods that are considered healthy or pure can vary from person to person. Someone that eats low carb or follows a ketogenic diet might find something like fruit to be sinful or impure. Someone that eats low fat or low calorie, it might be peanut butter. So what are some of the symptoms and warning signs of orthorexia? Like I said, there is a line between generally eating in a way that is meant to be helpful to your health and the point where it becomes disordered and orthorexic. Some of these may sound like they're just under the first label, so there is some overlap there. And it's important to note that the scale or extent of these behaviors can be a factor. Cutting out entire food groups from your diet in an attempt to make it more healthy, and the number of foods on that list that you cut out can increase over time. Judging other people's eating habits, that's regardless of whether you say anything or not. Obsession with following a healthy diet. Increased focus on what you're eating to the extent that it can interfere with your day-to-day life. So say you have no allergies or physical medical reasons to not eat a certain food, and then you know that your partner's birthday is coming up, so you'll know that you'll be having some cake, even if it's just a small amount. You know, you might be worrying about that or feeling guilty about it way ahead of time. Trying not to have cake or something else on the day instead, like a piece of fruit, you might try and resort to that because of the emotions linked to having that piece of cake. Feeling unable to put aside your own food rules or guidelines, needing to know the exact calories and macronutrients of everything you eat, guilt, anxiety, stress over eating foods that you consider impure or unclean, linking your emotional well-being or relying on a sense of emotional well-being to eating pure foods, and again, pure is in air quotations there, feeling uncomfortable or insecure when you don't have full control over the food or how it's going to be prepared. So going to restaurants or someone else's house are a great example of that. Rigid eating patterns, constantly checking food labels, rigid tracking of calories and macros, avoiding or ducking out of social situations or feeling uncomfortable eating around others because of how you feel about the food they'll be eating and also about the food that you'll be having. Like I said, some of these might just be healthy eating in a lot of cases, and the extent to which it happens or the scale of it is also important here. What are the causes of orthorexia? As with most other eating disorders and mental health conditions, there isn't any one specific cause that has been identified for orthorexia, and it hasn't been all that well researched, certainly not to the same extent as other eating disorders. But there are some common risk factors that can lead to eating disorders generally that still apply here. So past trauma, emotional distress, perfectionist or obsessive personality or behaviors, stress, depression, anxiety, or just a need for control over something. Whatever experiences you've had or whatever you're going through, sometimes that high from having control over your eating and eating in a certain way to feel a certain way is your go-to to help deal with whatever you're going through or to avoid being reminded of previous negative experiences. Now, I mentioned, you know, someone following a ketogenic diet, for example, might associate fruit with being impure or a food that they can't have or feel guilty about having. So say you were heavier than you wanted to be. When you were at your heaviest, you had low self-esteem, you were very self-conscious, and maybe you were also fat-shamed or bullied for it. You tried the ketogenic diet or you tried low carb, lost weight, got a lot of positive praise and attention. You felt great. And because of that positive reinforcement, that praise because you lost weight, you linking that positivity with the keto diet or with the low carb diet, suddenly there's a strong link between weight loss being good and linking it with low carb and anything with carbs in it, like fruit, that being bad, because having fruit or having carbs would be something that takes you back to that sort of older version of you. And I'm using air quotations again for old, that take you back to the old version of you. And if you have it again, you're going backwards and you're going to be reliving those painful emotional experiences that you had. That's a very basic high level example, similar to my own experience. And it can often be a lot more complicated than that. There is an orthorexia test and criteria. It's called the Bratman orthorexia test. You can do it yourself. It's just 10 questions. And I'm going to read those out to you here. And I'm also going to include a link to do it yourself for free in the show notes. When I did it, my score was 9. I don't actually know what it's scored out of, but the screen just said I have a score of 9, which suggests possible orthorexia. So there's 10 questions. And if you answer yes to 4 or 5, then it's possible that you have orthorexia and it's worth seeking professional help. So these are the 10 questions. Do you spend more than 3 hours a day thinking about your diet? Do you plan your meals several days ahead? Is the nutritional value of your meal more important than the pleasure of eating it? Has the quality of your life decreased as the quality of your diet has increased? Have you become stricter with yourself lately? Does your self-esteem get a boost from healthy eating? Have you given up foods you used to enjoy in order to eat the so-called right foods? Does your diet make it difficult for you to eat out, distancing you from family and friends? Do you feel guilty when you stray from your diet? And lastly, do you feel at peace with yourself and in total control when you eat healthily? I think I answered yes to, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those. So I don't know why I scored 9, but yeah, I answered yes to 6 or 7 of those. And yeah, so there's a possibility of orthorexic behavior there. And when you get to the point of a diagnosis, there's 2 parts to the criteria. Part A is an obsessive focus on healthy eating and distress over unhealthy food choices, compulsively following and obsessing over food rules, breaking rules, feelings of anxiety and shame if rules are broken, and increasing harshness or strictness of rules over time. Part B is starting to notice mental health and physical health issues, issues with day-to-day relationships and also in work and school, and also body image and self-esteem becoming dependent on diet. None of this is my clinical recommendations or guidance. I'm definitely not qualified to do any of that. So as with any mental health condition, please do speak to a professional. This is just information, and I'm linking the sources where I'm getting it from, about how it's tested and diagnosed. So how common is orthorexia? I couldn't find detailed stats, and there haven't been a lot of studies on it. And I think part of it is skewed by the fact that a lot of us may have habits that overlap with orthorexia symptoms, but don't recognize it as such because it looks like we're just being healthy and looking after our health. But I did find a few studies, and I have linked all of these as well, which have some stats. So a 2004 study of 404 people found a prevalence of 6.9%. A 2014 study of Ashtanga yoga practitioners found a prevalence of 86%. That's a slightly unique case. Yoga and being a practitioner is a very specific niche where ideas like purity, cleanliness, doing things for your soul, those all play a huge part in that sort of sphere, or in that bubble, I guess you could call it. So it makes sense that that extends to the diets of practitioners as well. So I kind of count that one, not necessarily as an anomaly, but just it's a very specific case. Having said that, a 2017 study of 275 US college students suggests that it's actually less than 1%, whereas a 2011 self-administered questionnaire suggested it was as high as 57.5%. And then, like I mentioned with the yoga practitioners, it can vary in very specific groups or in very specific populations. So some stats to demonstrate that. It's estimated 31% of female athletes and 41% of male athletes have orthorexia, 12.8% of dietitians in a study in Austria, 32.1% amongst ballet dancers, and as high as 81.8% amongst opera singers. So it's really difficult to gauge true, actual authoritative stats, and a lot of the time we will just think we're eating healthy. So there is that kind of skewed there. And also, it's like that goes both ways, because sometimes we will be obsessing over certain healthy behaviors, which will overlap with orthorexia, but then sometimes there will be healthy behaviors that we want to include that do cause some disruption, and we do have to make some sacrifices to eat a certain way to improve our health. So there's a kind of fine line, like I said, and that does get blurred, which is probably why it'll always be difficult to get really actual, accurate, authoritative stats. So what's an orthorexia diet example? Like I said, there isn't one set diet that people with orthorexia follow, and there isn't one set eating pattern either. The foods that get banned or restricted can vary a lot. but I can tell you some of the things I did because of my own eating patterns. I'm going to sidestep saying that I had or that I have orthorexia. Because I haven't been diagnosed, it seems a bit disingenuous to say I've had it. Now, in my experience, I lost most of my weight before I really got properly obsessive about my food intake. I think I was making steady progress for a while, and then when that plateaued, I got more frustrated and sought out sort of, you know, the next new trend or new health kick, and I kept thinking I was doing something wrong because I couldn't get through this plateau. At my most extreme, I tried the paleo or caveman diet, so basically fruit, vegetables, nuts, meats, seeds, that's pretty much it. It's a bit more nuanced than that, but that's kind of most of your food intake. So when I was following that, if I was going to be out or new, a special occasion was coming up, I used to stress about it for weeks ahead of time. And if I'm honest, I still do sometimes. And I would starve myself all day to kind of, I don't like to use the word make space, but that's basically what I thought I was doing. I would starve myself to kind of make space for it, even though I wasn't worried about calories. It was just, I thought I was kind of poisoning my body. So I need to actually just not, you know, I need to kind of not have like my normal food alongside that as well. And then I'd also normally end up doing a super long sweaty cardio session the next day to help make up for it too. My diet before weight loss was definitely harming my physical health, but when I got to this extreme, it was much more harmful to my mental health. All the meals were planned out to be super clean, so only using the one calorie olive oil spray, no processed or refined ingredients. And don't get me wrong, it was a very nutritious way to live and eat, but it was extreme. And when I slipped up, I had a tendency to want to binge, because I had a very all or nothing mentality. I thought, okay, I've sinned. I may as well just, you know, get this out of my way, enjoy what I want today, and then get back on track tomorrow. And that behavior probably did lay the foundation for binge eating disorder that I've ended up battling with more recently. And a few other things, like I've hit a 2,500 consecutive day streak on my Fitness Pal, which means there's at least 2,500 days consecutively where I've logged in and tracked my calories. My thoughts about food made me more reclusive and really unable to just sort of enjoy going out and seeing my friends or chilling out with them. Meals out used to be stressful. I used to obsess over looking at a restaurant's menu beforehand, and I would usually just go for the least processed thing on the menu. So there were plenty of times where I would ask for like just a bowl of leaves and a bit of grilled chicken with the croutons and the dressing and, you know, no anything else on the side. It was just basically raw leaves and a bit of grilled chicken. I do still check food labels and I like to know the calories and ingredients of what I'm having, but I'm much more relaxed and much more comfortable with not being obsessive about it, and I'm not 100% on it anymore. And I'll talk about that shortly as well. As you know, most of my content is slightly geared more towards men, just because the kind of things I talk about, there's not really a lot out there for men. So that's kind of why I wanted to focus more on men. Like everything I've covered so far has been orthorexia in general. So let's talk about orthorexia in men a little bit more. I didn't find much specifically on men because there isn't actually a huge amount out there about orthorexia anyways, but I did find a 2018 article in Men's Health magazine, which said that younger, healthy guys are actually possibly the most at risk of developing orthorexia. One of the things to remember with this eating disorder is that it's not just about weight loss. It's about eating for health and eating in a certain way. And, you know, this article said that men are more likely to diet for overall health than just for weight loss. Men are likely to want to attain a sort of optimal physique, which means some strength, some muscle, some leanness, you know, maybe some performance in there as well. So there's more to it than just weight loss. And that makes them more prime candidate specifically for orthorexia. I couldn't find any stats to back that up, but that's what the gist of this article was. I also think the whole sort of gym and meal prep culture that we see men do more visibly, the Instagram Explore page, or at least my Instagram Explore page is a great example of that, means men are more likely to take it to that slightly more extreme level where it becomes disordered. But there's also sort of macho slash masculine thing about being hardcore and making sacrifices so that they might not even realize it. And male fitness is heavily influenced by bodybuilding, you know, where people do go through bulks and strict cuts, and the strict cuts get glamorized a bit, so it becomes common to want to emulate those. And I definitely had symptoms that overlap with orthorexia, even if I was ever diagnosed, and I know plenty of other guys who have too. So, you know, healthy eating is good, taken to the extent that it causes a huge amount of disruption to your day-to-day life and affects your relationships, probably less good. So let's look at recovering from orthorexia and treatment. There's no specific treatment for orthorexia available, but it can be approached in a similar way to other eating disorders and other compulsive or obsessive behaviors. Generally, psychotherapy and exposure to the foods that cause distress are thought to help, maybe also cognitive behavioral therapy, or, you know, to an extent, treating the underlying cause of the emotional distress that led you down the route to orthorexia. You know, for the keto example that I gave earlier, treatment and recovery might look like a very small addition of carbs to regular eating habits. And, you know, when that shows no weight gain or that weight gain isn't happening, the amount of carbs can very gradually increase. Again, that's a very, very basic example. I'm not a professional. In my case, I can't remember what made me stop the paleo diet. I think I just moved on to another trend. But I do still carry some of the orthorexia habits and possibly do still have it. And in the meantime, I've also been dealing with binge eating disorder, so that's been an extra bonus. But some things that have helped me, putting my energy and attention into something positive that isn't food, so like this podcast and the blog and YouTube channel that I do, making sure I'm ticking the minimum boxes for nutrition, so, you know, hitting my targets for what my body needs in terms of protein, carbs, fiber, calories, vitamins, minerals. And then if as long as I'm ticking those boxes, then I have learned to stop worrying about everything else because I'm doing what I need to do for my health. And I'm also not tracking my calories rigidly. I still do some sort of ballpark tracking, but I'm generally pretty good at knowing portion sizes and the calories in most things, so I can kind of eyeball it without needing to load up my fitness pal every time. I don't feel guilt around food much anymore, but I do still think about it a lot, and I do still like to plan ahead, I admit that. I took it very slow, and I very gradually started to vary my diet and introduce other foods that I felt guilty about before. It's not, it is still something I'm working through, and you know, from that 10-question Bratman test, it sounds like I do still probably have it, but it's nowhere near as obsessive or extreme as it once was. So wrapping up on orthorexia, let's just recap this. It often starts with good intentions before slipping into disordered behavior. There is a fine line between healthy eating and obsessive behavior, and that line can be easily crossed. There's no clinical treatment available, but psychotherapy and gradual exposure to foods that cause you those emotions can help. If you do have or suspect you have orthorexia, please don't hesitate to get help. There's a National Eating Disorders Association in the US and BEAT, which is for Beat Eating Disorders in the UK. And I've included links to both of those in the show notes as well. If you are on a diet, don't aim for perfection. Aim for 90% of your plan. Leave that 10% as wiggle room. Never go 100% because then you kind of get very quickly into the point of thinking you're getting great results because you're following this diet 100% rigidly. That can start to lead you down that disordered behavior pattern. Also, make sure you take food out of your control regularly. So go to restaurants, eat at other people's houses, make the most of those special occasions. So you can never get 100% settled into having full control over your food. So it's almost like you have this safeguard against fully developing into orthorexic behavior patterns. If you can develop the habit early and keep it, it just kind of help you avoid becoming really obsessive about the foods that you're eating. And just like any other eating disorder or mental health condition, don't hesitate to get help. It can be hugely disruptive to your life and cause a hell of a lot of stress or distress, and there's never any shame in asking for help. If you're not comfortable getting professional help or not sure where to look, please do feel free to message me. And I'm not qualified to help, but I can be a listening ear and I can point you in the right direction. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. As a one-man army, I really could do with all the help I can get, and you would be doing me a huge favor if you could leave a review or a rating to help me get the word out. You won't just be helping me, you might help other men show themselves some kindness and appreciate their bodies more in the process too. Thanks again.